I'm Beth Perrell, here to learn more about the Seminole County Bar Association's Legal Aid Society with the volunteer attorney Andy Schimmelier and Cameron Williams. She's the pro bono coordinator and paralegal. Thanks to both of you for being here. I'd like to start with the basics. What is a legal aid society?
So the Seminole County Legal Aid is a free legal service provider for residents of Seminole County, specifically low-income residents of Seminole County. The organization started in 1975 to address the needs of the community because, as many people know, for criminal matters, if you can't afford an attorney, one is going to be provided to you. But for many civil legal matters, or for all civil legal matters, that is not the case. So if you are unable to afford an attorney, you're oftentimes stuck to try and figure out the system on your own, and it can be very complicated and confusing. So that is where our organization comes in. We work to provide that assistance, whether that be just some general legal advice or full representation for civil legal matters. So we work to bridge that gap. And that oftentimes can change the trajectory of someone's life, in a sense, because it helps them to meet some of their basic needs, like whether or not they'll be able to buy groceries for their children or clothe their children as well, if they need child support or something like that. And if they're working to escape a domestic violence situation, our attorneys are there to help provide assistance with divorce and paternity matters, things like that. So
I wanted to ask for like an example, but the divorce and paternity issues, that's an example right there.
Yes. We also do, so our attorneys at the office primarily do family law. And we also work with some private landlord-tenant matters as well, such as repairs, eviction issues, things like that.
Okay. And again, a lot of people don't realize that you're there for them to help out in those situations.
Exactly.
So what we want to do now is talk about at least three of the different types of programs that you have ongoing and just let people know about that and any of the other services you might want to mention. But let's start out with the fact that you have a legal advice clinic for college students that you hold a couple of times each month.
Yes, we are very proud of that one. It is our project graduation. So oftentimes, civil legal matters can kind of distract you from getting things done that you need to get done, such as studying and working towards your graduation. So we have a legal advice clinic at Seminole State College twice a month, every second and fourth Thursday of the month. Unfortunately, we don't have a second one in November just because of the holidays. Campus is going to be closed. So our next one is going to be December, I believe. And we run that from 9 to 12. At the Student Center building, our staff attorneys are on campus and they're just there to answer any questions that you may have. And we're just kind of working to help students get past any legal issues that might be preventing them from graduating or anything like that.
Yeah, and I'll say that the clinic is on December 8th at Seminole
Yes.
State College of Florida. And so just a couple of examples there. What are some things that the students encounter and come and ask about?
Yeah, so we've had a couple students come to just talk about some contract issues that they may be having. We've had some family law issues, time sharing questions that people may have. A lot of our attorneys will also look over people's leases. A lot of college students don't think about that. They just sign their lease and just move into the apartment. And our attorneys can go review it with them, make sure that the terms that they're agreeing to are fair and reasonable, because God forbid later an issue comes up with repairs and they have to try and deal with it. At least they know in advance what terms they've agreed to.
Do people need to set appointments or they just show up? It's like just a open door kind of thing?
Exactly. It's just walk-ins. You can email me in advance or call our office in advance and we'll note you down, or you can just show up. We're there for a few hours and we'll stay late if we have to.
And I know a lot of people listening right now are thinking, but I don't go to Seminole State. I'm at this college or that college. They can all show up.
So we are primarily working with Seminole State College students at that particular project, but we do have other legal advice clinics like for veterans, and they can always call our office at any time if they need assistance as well.
Okay. Very good. They can call your office. So why don't we actually talk then about the legal advice clinic for veterans?
Yeah, of course. That is another one of our amazing workshops. We've been running it since 2016. We meet at the Castleberry Library every third Thursday of the month, starting from 1 to 4. So we have both staff and volunteer attorneys that work at that clinic. So our staff attorneys, as always, can answer any questions related to family law or private landlord-tenant matters. And our staff attorneys will come and bring whatever area of expertise that they primarily work in. So one of our volunteer attorneys that comes pretty consistently does wills and estates. So they'll help out with any probate matters, any wills that need looking at or need preparation. And we do also have a representative from Senator Marco Rubio's office that joins us every month at that event to address some of those other veteran affairs issues that residents may have that our attorneys can't assist with.
And what's an example of that?
So we have currently a client who was seeking assistance with some veterans benefits issues he was having. So since our attorneys aren't able to provide much assistance on that, he was able to go to the representative from Rubio's office for some guidance.
And then you have the sealing and expungement workshop as well.
Yes. The sealing and expungement workshop is, we run that twice a month, once in person and once online. So that is every first and third Wednesday of the month. The in-person is the first Wednesday. The online version is the third Wednesday. And Attorney Shamlier is kind enough to have signed on to teach all of those workshops every month, twice a month. So we are very grateful for his assistance in that project. And for that project, the sealing and expungement primarily focuses on, obviously, learning the sealing and expungement process so that people can move forward with their life, put that one mistake that they made behind them and move forward to either continue their education, as a lot of times arrests can sometimes get in the way of higher education, as well as finding a job if they're out there searching. So,
does that also impact whether or not somebody can rent an apartment and things like that because background checks are being run?
I do believe that has been the case. I don't know if Attorney Shamlier has anything to add about that as well. So,
it can impact any aspect of your life. The fact that anyone can access a public document that has this notation that you somehow at some point in your life were arrested or had a charge levied against you, I think that can be negatively impactful in any aspect.
Andy, since you've joined us here, let's have you explain what it's like when you're working, when you're volunteering with these clients.
So it's really open to the public for the most part. And it's kind of a neat experience because number one, nothing bad happens to anybody if you attend the seminar. Your worst case scenario is you find out that you're not eligible, but at least, you know, you gain some information. You're not wasting any more time or resources trying to pursue something that's unattainable. But there are many people that show up at these events and they didn't realize that their case was dismissed, but it still remains a public document. So what we typically do is we have a seminar that I think Cameron's created. It is wonderful. Basically, it's a PowerPoint presentation. And then we invite people, if they're comfortable in doing so, stopping me at any point and asking questions during the presentation. Or alternatively, if they don't want to discuss things in front of others, when the seminar is over, typically Cameron and I and or representative from Goodwill will sit down one-on-one and talk to people and basically counsel them and help them move forward. We also do the online seminar, so that's not doesn't lend itself to that type of individual counseling. But if one is indigent and they show up to one of these events and they're completely overwhelmed with the paperwork, I invite them to call my office. And typically it's a meeting that's less than 5 minutes in length. And I will literally sit down with them and kind of walk them through how to fill out their info. And I'll guide them as to where they need to go to complete the process. So I met with somebody, for example, maybe 2 months ago, gave him instructions, told him what to do. I said, when you get your certificate back from FDLE, come back and see me. And he came in, I think, yesterday. And it's not going to take us a lot of time. Certainly may have taken him a lot of time because he didn't necessarily know what he was doing, but we can help. It's not a big deal. And it can, again, kind of change the trajectory of one's life.
So basically, when you're talking about sealing or expungement, it's a series of paperwork that is being filed?
So basically, if you get something sealed, then ultimately the records exist, but they're not within the view of the public. So there's whether you do a sealing or expungement basically is a court order instructing and ordering governmental entities to destroy all records. So they literally, they're gone. And this is the beautiful thing. If you get it expunged or sealed, with a few exceptions, you legally can deny that you were ever arrested or that it ever, that the incident even transpired. But basically, there's a packet you have to fill out. You got to get your fingerprints done. You got to fill out a couple forms. You got to send a check for $75 along with the packet up to Tallahassee, to FDLE. Then you sit back and wait for them to complete their investigation. I think they run a national fingerprint check on you. And if you qualify, they're going to send you a certificate of eligibility. When you get that, then you have to legally, formally file a motion with the court, get the state attorney's position, and then get an order to the judge. Which
I could see why, for the basic person, and hearing you say that, we need
absolutely.
You to help.
Absolutely.
And the other piece of it I would offer is that most of us wouldn't know where to start. So these workshops are giving people that first step.
It's so Cameron and Legal Aid, they're wonderful. So they not only provide this PowerPoint presentation, which they will email to anybody who wants a copy of it. If in the in-person meetings, they bring all the forms for you. So you literally don't have to do anything, just show up. And we could probably help you fill out the form right then and there that night if you had your court paperwork with you. And if you don't, we could probably access it online and even help you in that regard as well. So
great. You know, the other thing I was curious about, and I don't know if either one of you can answer this, but I was interested that Goodwill does that workshop with you. Is it because this connects to jobs and that's their thing?
Correct. So we have a representative from Goodwill who works with their job connection, virtual job connection program, I believe that's what they call it. And so she joins us there. We used to run, before COVID, it used to run through their facility, but now we run it through the library. She is there to connect attendees with people who are seeking, or for employers that are seeking employees that may be willing to, if they're not able to seal or expunge their record, that these employers are more willing to kind of overlook some of those blips on their record as well. So she can help to provide them with additional resources for job hunting. I do believe they do like mock interviews and things like that as well to kind of prepare people as they move forward.
And how to answer those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Cameron, for people who, you know, want to deal with you or work with you outside of those three topic areas, what are the other topic areas? What can people contact you about?
Oh, yeah, of course. So we also have some housing webinar that we run, and we do have a domestic violence project in order to help people who are survivors of domestic violence. And then, like I said before, family law matters and private landlord-tenant issues are primarily what our staff attorneys, cases that they typically take. We do also do a little bit of guardian advocacy for people seeking adult guardianship over developmentally disabled loved ones, just to ensure that they can continue to provide the necessary care and medical attention needed after the person turns 18.
And can people just go on your website to learn more about that?
Yes, of course. Everything is listed on our website. We also have it listed on our social media. You can call, you can email, any way to reach out to us, and we'll definitely try to connect you as best as we can with our staff attorneys, and if not our staff attorneys, some of the over 100 volunteer attorneys that we have in our network. So
I'm about to ask legal experts to comment on something anecdotally, which is probably not going to get me far, but here we go. I'm curious, over the past couple of years, moving through the pandemic to now, have you just seen an uptick in the number of people who need help with those tenant-rentee relations?
Definitely, definitely. We have seen, I think it was maybe last week or the week before, we had maybe 10 evictions come through, some of which had already kind of gone to the writ of possession stage, and it was a little harder to provide assistance with. So yes, I think the biggest thing for those evictions is just to get out in front of it. As soon as you get that 3-day notice, to reach out to an attorney and kind of start talking through your options, because they go very fast. So you definitely want to have that time.
And Andy, an anecdotal question for you. Just, you know, you mentioned the reading through the contracts, and I'm probably like everybody else, you know, the first couple of sentences, my eyes glaze over with contracts. Is that what you think when people really need help to get through the legalese of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, oftentimes, you know, if you meet with somebody in Cameron's office or meet with me, you know, within seconds, we can alleviate and clarify any confusion that exists because we read these things every day.
What are some of the other sort of pieces of advice that you could give people and what to bring when they want to work with you and bring in terms of maybe something tangible, but also the types of information you need from them?
It's called disposition paperwork or sentencing paperwork from their court proceedings. That's really the key. So a lot of states don't have what they call a withhold of adjudication. A lot of people don't really understand the significance of it. And a lot of people go to court and their attorney tells them, hey, I got you a withhold. But they don't have the next step conversation that, hey, down the road, you may be able to seal or expunge the case. And if you didn't get a withhold, if you were convicted of it, conversely, you know, some trial attorneys, you're trying to get your client the best deal, but you're not, you neglect somehow to tell them, like, down the road, if you're convicted here, not only can you never seal this case, but now you're precluded from sealing any case ever. So the sentencing paperwork, a lot of people come into these meetings and they've already been adjudicated guilty. They weren't aware of it, but that's the death knell to the whole sealing expungement process. But again, with technology today, most counties in Florida, we can look it up online on our phone or on a computer while we're meeting them.
All right. And Cameron, what are some other sort of things that you'd like to advise people about if they're seeking help at the Legal Aid Society?
Yeah. So for our office, a lot of the documents that we look for when you come for advice or for a legal assistance, it obviously depends on case by case. But for private landlord tenant, obviously the big one is we'd like to see the lease. If you've received any notices, those notices, if it's a maintenance issue, that communication you had between yourself and your landlord. For the family law issues, if you've already have any child support established, any time sharing agreement already in place, or if you're modifying your divorce, we usually like to see that final judgment, any documents that you have in advance just to kind of prepare. And then obviously for the more like temporary custody or adult guardianship cases, the biggest ones are birth certificates for the children involved. If one of their parents passed away, the death certificate, just things like that to verify all the information that we've collected from you.
And then I think the other question I should ask you is back to who your clientele are and what is sort of the threshold in them being able to access your services.
Yeah, of course. So obviously, we have an eligibility requirement. When you call our office, our intake specialists will go through some standard questions with you. The biggest one is definitely the income level. So for our office, we look at our clients being about 125% of the national poverty level or below. And then in instances of domestic violence, there is a little more leeway there, but that's the general rule for our office.
And let's go ahead and let people know again about the three clinics that we were talking about. So first, there's the Legal Advice Clinic for college students. You have another one coming up in December.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be December 8th.
And again, where do people go or how do they learn more?
Oh, yeah. So that clinic takes place on the Sanford campus of Seminole State College. So in their student services building, our student center building, apologies. And so we're up on the second floor in room SC260. We're there from 9 to noon. And we'll stay a little later if you have any further questions or if you're running from class that just ended at like 11:50. As long as you let us know in advance that you're coming, then we will make sure to stay a little longer.
Okay, the next one is the Legal Advice Clinic for Veterans.
So that clinic takes place every third Thursday of the month. I believe the next one is coming up in November on the 17th. Yes, the 17th, from 1 to 4. And that takes place at the Castleberry Library in Seminole County, which is off of North Oxford Road, I believe. We're down on the bottom level. We have a nice little check-in table. You can come check in and then we'll assign you to a volunteer attorney who will go over any information, answer any questions.
And then finally, the sealing and expungement workshop.
Yeah, so our sealing and expungement workshop does happen twice a month, both in person and online. Our next one is going to be online, November 16th at 5:30 p.m. We have the Zoom link information on our website, on our social media pages, and if you call our office, our intake specialist will be sure to email that information over to you as well. And then we do have another one, our last one for the year. It'll be in person on December 7th at the Samford branch of the Seminole County Library. So that's over by the courthouse off of Palmetto Avenue, North Palmetto Avenue. And that'll be our last one for the year, because unfortunately our next virtual one would have been during the holidays. So, but yeah, that one is also at 5:30. I'll be there. Attorney Chamalier will be there, and our representative, Jennifer from Goodwill, will also be there.
And Andy, I have to ask, what does it mean to you to volunteer with Legal Aid Society?
It's a joy. It's a pleasure. So in my mind, it's very easy. It's rewarding and very little inconvenience to me, and have an opportunity to help people. So I enjoy doing it, and I'm not alone. There's a million people just like me that are lawyers in Seminole County that volunteer their time. And you'd be surprised. Many, many lawyers do this in our community.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I want to give both of you an opportunity for any final thoughts as we start to wrap up here. And Andy, do you want to start us out there?
Final thoughts would be, if you live in Seminole County, you have this great resource and you have great people like Cameron and Legal Aid. So why not take advantage of their services?
And Cameron.
So as a final thought, I just wanted to mention also our housing education webinar, which will be coming up on November 30th at 5:30 p.m. over Zoom as well. That's a newer project that we're trying to get up on its feet. Our volunteer and staff attorneys use that time to discuss the eviction process and how to prepare yourself, best practices when renting, all of that information. And I also just wanted to mention that it's, no matter what legal issue you're going through, it's always better to reach out earlier rather than later, because even if our office can't assist with that particular matter, we will try to find you someone or another legal aid in the community that can. So don't be afraid to reach out, even if you don't think that we'd be able to provide you with assistance. We will try our best to connect you to any other available resources in the community as well.
Well, thanks to you both. I've been speaking to Cameron Williams, the pro bono coordinator and paralegal for the Seminole County Bar Association Legal Aid Society, with us also one of the volunteer attorneys, Andy Chamalier. You can call 407-834-1660 or online scbalas.com. I'm Beth Perrell.